Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
One of the most well-known scenes shown on Christmas cards is a picture of three expensively dressed men riding camels through the night sky toward a big star. The scriptures don't say that there were only three wise men, but it is assumed because there were three different types of gifts given to the baby Jesus. These men were known as the Magi. They were called astrologers because it had only been in modern times that the differences between astrologers and astronomers had been clearly defined. Astronomers study the heavenly objects relying on experience and experiment, but not on theories or beliefs. From very early on in world history, however, some people have worshipped the sun, moon, and planets instead of God. Historically, the term astrology was regarded as a technical and learned tradition, sustained in royal courts, cultural centres, and universities during the Middle Ages. However, a part of an astrologer's work is to discover future events by supernatural powers and by the positions of seven planets in relation to each other. Some people believe that star and planet positions influence a person's personality, human affairs, and destiny. Dates of birth can be given unreasonable powers over a person's life, and doing this has caused a denial of self-will. What do the scriptures say about all this? God clearly says in Exodus chapter 20 that we should not worship any of God's created things, whether they are located in the heavens, or on earth, or under the sea. We are to worship God, our Creator, only. A person cannot excuse personal bad behavior when they were born under a certain star sign. When a person opens up his mind to such thinking, the devil will seize the chance to have demonic influence over him. If people want to know the future, they should ask God what it is. He's revealed so much in Scripture, but in mercy usually keeps our own future a secret from us. Why do people want to know the future? In Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, Jesus says, "Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." We don't need to carry next month's burdens today, only today's. The wise men had travelled from the Babylonian region 500 years after Daniel had trained their ancestors about Israel's God. He taught them how to watch for a special bright star. In the prophecy of Balaam in Numbers chapter 24 it says, "A star shall come out of Jacob." And in the book of Daniel chapter 9 there's a prophecy which gives a timeline for the birth of the Messiah. That's why the wise men knew the meaning of the star when they saw it appear. The Star of Bethlehem was no ordinary star. It appeared only to the wise men and kept leading them on until it stopped over the house where Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus were living. This star was God's way of leading these men to the Messiah.
The high priest will see you. This way, please.
Welcome to Jerusalem and the temple, ye men of the east.
Greetings and salutations. We insist on seeing him and worshipping him.
Just 1 minute. You are strangers from a distant land, and we tell you definitely that the Messiah is not here.
Yes,
but... He has not been born. Do you understand?
But your own writers, Moses, Isaiah, Malachi, Daniel, and others, all point to
the fact that... I have had enough of your insolence. Be gone, now.
Wise men from the east had entered Jerusalem full of joy and eager anticipation, confident that the Messiah's birth would be the joyful burden of every tongue. But they leave the presence of the priests, disappointed by the indifference of the Israelite leaders towards the coming of a Messiah. The arrival of the wise men from the east was quickly noised throughout Jerusalem. Their strange errand created an excitement among the people. The news of these things quickly penetrated to the palace of King Herod.
You are my chief counselor, are you not?
I am happy to serve Herod, king of Judea.
The spilling of much blood has stained the way to this throne. I am an Edomite, ruler over Israelites. They hate me. I'm secure on this throne only because of the favor of Rome. Now... these magi from the east and the priests and the rulers of Israel plot to overthrow me. They claim a new prince has been born, a prince born to the throne and the kingdom.
My king speaks words of truth and wisdom.
We must stop it. Not by open accusation or warfare, no, but by superior cunning. They shall remain ignorant of the fact that I know of their plot. Summon the priests and scribes to an audience at once. Why are you trying to conceal the truth of this new prince you claim is born to the throne? You have searched your scriptures carefully, and you know where this new prince is born. I command you, tell me!
It is written in the prophecies of Micah, O king, that he shall be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel.
Be gone, all of you, now! And lackey, summon the magi from the east. I would talk to them. Be quick about it ere they leave Jerusalem.
A wild tempest of anger raged within the heart of King Herod. But he preserved a calm exterior and received the wise men from the east with royal courtesy. He professed to hail with joy the intimation of the birth of Christ. He bade his visitors,
search diligently for the young child, and when you've found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also.
Oh, we will, your majesty.
You are dismissed. Go quickly to Bethlehem and find this new prince.
The wise men departed alone from Jerusalem. The shadows of night were falling as they left the gates. But to their great joy, they again saw...
The star. There it is. The same star that led us here to Jerusalem. It shall lead us to the young Messiah. Oh, joy to the world.
In Psalm 72, there's a prophecy about the Messiah which says, the kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. And the New Testament fulfillment in Matthew's Gospel is in chapter 2. It says, about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. When the wise men reached Bethlehem, the Bible says, they entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. After the visit of the wise men, everyone in Jerusalem knew about the new baby. While some no doubt were pleased to hear a new prince had come, and they might expect him to overthrow the Roman yoke and King Herod, others were not happy about it. The very priests, who were the custodians of the Jewish religion, didn't want to accept him. They didn't want trouble from an aggressive King Herod, as they didn't need any excuse for killing a few more Jews. This man, known in history as King Herod the Great, was one of the most powerful men and one of the greatest builders of all time. He kept his throne by the wish of Rome and its many soldiers. In 19 BC, King Herod started to redecorate and enlarge the temple built by Zerubbabel in 516 BC, when Zerubbabel was governor of the returning Israelites from captivity in Babylon. It was in the political interests of the priests in the temple to keep Herod on side so he would do more of the work on the temple. Herod even had some of the priests trained in building work so he could proceed without violating God's rules. The work wasn't finished when Herod died in 4 BC, but continued on for 46 years, as told to us in John's Gospel, chapter 2. Although it was called Herod's Temple, it was still only the second temple built to worship God in Jerusalem. It was finally finished in AD 64, only 6 years before the Romans destroyed it completely, leaving no two stones standing together. The only exception to its complete destruction was the lower levels of walls known as the Wailing Wall, and this was where the Jewish people have prayed ever since. People of every generation can limit God to their way of thinking. The priests said that the Messiah hadn't been born yet. In their minds, they weren't prepared to have the Messiah born into such a poor family. Yet other leaders in some countries have been born into poverty. Such an obstacle isn't too hard for God to overcome. In Luke chapter 1, the angel said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." God provided for Jesus by sending the wise men with expensive gifts. A truly poor person is not one who has too little, but rather a person who is constantly craving more, believing he never has enough. Was it right for the priests to play politics? They could have added up the number of years from Daniel's prophecy to decide on a date for the Messiah to be born. Was the high priest afraid that the Messiah would take over his job? Was he trying to hide the baby Jesus from Herod? We don't know. Christians have to be careful not to confuse political convictions with spiritual convictions. We can assume that people of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism must also promote one political agenda. This brings us to the area of making judgments about people that should be left to God alone. When the church confuses spiritual and political convictions, it's tempted to use political power to push forward a spiritual agenda. One writer said the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. Churches too can have their own internal politics, and this is very displeasing to God. Christ is to be the head of the church. If some church leader assumes the position of controller and doesn't seek God's will in prayer, then one day he'll have to answer for his own self-enthronement. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, Jesus said that church people will be known by the type of fruit they produce in their lives. He gave a stark warning about church people who have no personal relationship with him. At judgment time, they will tell him all the wonderful things they've done for him, yet he will deny knowing them. What a terrible shock this will be for some people who have worked so hard in the church, but have not walked carefully and humbly with their Lord. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, we're told to do nothing out of selfish ambition or of cheap desire to boast. Yet instead, we are to be humble towards one another. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Those who do not remain in me are thrown out like a branch and will dry up. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire where they are burned." No one can ever get into heaven by doing a lot of good deeds. In the New Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus was given many different names. Apart from God's anointed one, Jesus was called Lord, Son of God, Son of Man, the Word, Saviour, High Priest, and Prophet. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prediction of his coming as an eternal ruler includes the names of Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Later in Isaiah, Jesus was called the Lamb of God. Jesus' mission in life here on earth was to bring salvation to all those who would believe in him. Being saved spiritually means your sins are no longer counted against you, and you are spared from an eternal death sentence by committing those sins. These sins need to be confessed and forsaken, and are forgiven by the grace of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but already have passed from death into life." The truth of God's salvation must not be ignored. The wise men from the east didn't delay when they saw the star of Bethlehem. They were men who read and believed God's word, sought Jesus, recognized the worth of Christ, humbled themselves to worship Jesus, and obeyed God rather than man by returning to their country without revisiting Herod. They were truly wise men. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.